Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Why?
9 o'clock. The number is 603-283-6160. 9 o'clock Eastern time. Where we are here live 7 to 10 Eastern, 7 nights per week.
If Eastern time was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me.
Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Because Matt Mayer.
And Mark.
We're going to go back into your calls and thoughts. Although I will say there is one line open, and that is the SIP line, which you can call in on if you like. It does take a little bit of setting up to do, but once you get it set up, it's like the push of a button, and you're on the line with us. It's very, very easy once you get it working. It's sip.freetalklive.com. They'll take you to a webpage that'll give you step-by-step instructions on how to get on that line. That's sip.freetalklive.com. And we go back to David in Georgia, who we were talking about, I don't know, something. Recap for me, David. What were we just discussing with you?
Well, the war, and I was just mentioning why the heck we're even supplying Ukraine.
Oh, you mean the U.S. Government? Because I am not consenting to this war, personally.
Yeah, I'm not either. This is ridiculous, and I think this is why we need a breakup of the U.S., because smaller nations generally don't seem to get into these giant wars.
That's a great point. But was your question, why is the United States federal government involved in this?
Well, it's more of a rhetorical question. What I was actually calling about, to be serious, like
well,
be honest.
Let's just answer the question briefly. It's because it benefits the military-industrial complex, right? They don't have a war in Afghanistan now, so they needed to start a new war that they could pour a bunch of military equipment into. And
this one much more dangerous because the adversary here is nuclear.
It's a nuclear threat. Yeah, well, that's true.
And that's an advantage from their perspective because no one was taking the war on terror seriously. Mm-hmm. So we had to make people fear for their very existence by poking a nuclear bear.
Right. All right. So what else, David?
So my thought was inflation. We were talking about fiat earlier and inflation and deflation with Bitcoin. And we don't really know whether inflation is a good thing or whether deflation is a good thing because we haven't tried deflation to my knowledge.
I'd rather have my money become more valuable than less over time. So I'm going to go ahead and say deflation is better.
Yeah, but look at, like, Monero, for example. It is technically inflationary because it's 1% roughly inflation, but it's got the tail emission that brings it down. It's called asymptotically zero, so it keeps going down and down and down because the tail emission never changes. So we know what it's going to be for now, from evermore. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. No one has ever tried an intentionally deflationary currency because even with gold, it goes up, it goes down, but it slowly inflates. It's harder to
get. Because they find more gold.
Right. It's hard to get. It's hard to get out of the ground, but slowly but surely you add gold to the supply of money that's running around. So it's very slowly inflationary.
So gold is created by the collapse of a neutron star or something like this, I was told at one point. I'd have to probably do a little more research in order to get very clear, but there is a giant gold asteroid floating around, probably in our solar system. If that thing ever
probably has more gold than on the entire planet.
Yeah,
right?
if that thing was ever accessed by, I don't know, a very rich billionaire that shot a car into space, then it would throw the whole balance of what gold's worth, mildly change it.
Or, for that matter, if you found an effective way of filtering vast quantities of seawater to get gold, then, like, there is an unbelievable amount.
It's
in, like, individual particles.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. It's just in individual particles out there in the ocean.
Wow. I had no idea.
You know what? I'm going to retract extracted as true. It's something I have heard since I was a kid from, like, school teachers and stuff. So it's one of those pre-internet facts, which should always be checked.
But it's salt water only, not freshwater?
Right,
okay. Right. Or alternately, we might figure out a way to filter our nuclear processes to the point that we can get individual elements from that. Because since you're fusing elements together, you get a sort of random smattering of completely new elements. Now, if you can do this in just such a way and filter it in just such a way, we might be able to pull a bunch of gold out of that process.
Sure. Well, and you know, at that point, if you can create element, if you can create molecules of a certain number of protons and neutrons and electrons, then you can create gold.
Yeah, and this is why I think that a gold standard would destroy itself. You would make such an efficient and non-force-driven economy that we would do things like figure out how to filter nuclear processes, figure out how to sift through the ocean, figure out how to find that asteroid, and do space mining. So it would, I think, eventually destroy itself. Whereas something that we have a social agreement on, I will only mine this if we all agree that it's 21 million, that's something that, since it's based on a social agreement, we can keep that.
Interesting point.
David, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Daniel. He's on the line in Washington State listening to KXLY there in Spokane. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hello. Hey, I wanted to thank Crichton for all of his insights about Ukraine and about that river that runs right down the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think the main river that's a little more important is the one that goes right through Crimea. And if the Ukrainians can't have it, well, then they can cry me a river. So I just thought I wanted to throw that in there. Love your show, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call tonight. Nice one. All right. Let's continue here. We got Gigi on the line in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening to all my fellow listeners. If you celebrate Passover or Easter or both, a healthy holiday to my fellow listeners. Regarding this so-called scandalous news break of Justice Clarence Thomas accepting, and I say it in quotations, gifts that he allegedly did not declare. As a woman with a legal background who was married to a practicing attorney, lawyers, judges on a city level, on a municipal level, on a state level, on an appellate level, and on a federal level are all mandated by state bar associations to follow ethical and practical guidelines and standards. Why aren't there the same rules and obligations governing the Supreme Court?
It's a good question.
That is my thought for the day.
Well, because they rule you.
Yeah, they can set the rules that they want, and they can, of course, break them at any time.
We've investigated ourselves, and we found out we've done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It turns out that, I mean, it's not in the Constitution or anything, but it turns out that they get to determine what's in the Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, even at the lower level, even at the lower levels, I know here in New Hampshire, and I suspect it's true in most places, the number one rule of the district courts is that they can waive the rules. A judge can waive the rules at any time based in the interest of justice.
Discretionary power is often excessive. I concur.
Thank you, Gigi, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you.
It's interesting that the power that the governor has that is obviously discretionary and one would think could totally be abused is the pardon. But, I mean, like, one wonders why they even gave it to governors and heads of state. Like, what would be the point of it? It seems like it's always being used to benefit one's friends and punish one's enemies,
not
right?
Not always.
Okay, how's it been used well?
I mean, Trump and, I believe, Biden both have let out, you know, people that were wrongfully imprisoned and things like that. I mean, that has happened.
It makes them look good, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which, great. Let's have more of that. Wouldn't it be nice if they were actually just?
Well, there's a lot of people who are paying for pardons. And
is that true?
If they don't, why would they even get them?
Well, it certainly includes
but the Clintons certainly gave a lot of pardons out. Bill Clinton gave a lot at the end of his presidency. And I'm sure Bush, and I mean, it's always done at the end.
Sure, there's the political ones, that's for sure.
Well, and I mean, it gives you the power to be pardoned even after being deposed. Like, Nixon was pardoned.
Right. By Ford.
Preemptively. So, yeah, the corruption is kind of infinite because of that power.
They say it was a good idea for Nixon to be, for Ford to pardon Nixon simply because the nation would have fallen apart, or it would have been a huge shock to the nation to try a president or whatever. But now we're seeing what it's like for a president to be arrested.
We'll find out.
Indeed. The number here is 603-283-6160. The guy I mentioned earlier from Russia, Medvedev, he is the spokesbureaucrat for Russia's...
Medvedev?
Medvedev, I believe is how you pronounce it. Holds the position of deputy head of Russia's Security Council. He's saying Ukraine will disappear because the Western backers, the rest of the world, and even its own citizens have no need for the troubled country to keep existing. He said this on the VK social network, which is Russia's equivalent of Facebook.
But when over there?
Saturday, so today.
So, yeah.
The EU doesn't need Ukraine because supporting the country amid the conflict with Russia, quote, on the order of their American mentor, has plunged the Europeans into a real financial and political hell. Medvedev insisted detrimental anti-Russia sanctions, spiking inflation, high energy prices, which they brought on themselves with their sanctions, and the decay of businesses have already led to protests in various parts of the continent. Of course, what he's referring to are some of the major manufacturers that have closed up shop, many concerned forever if, you know, things continue the way they are, with energy prices being what they are, because, hey, as it turns out, to make stuff like fertilizer, you got to pour a lot of energy into that factory. Yeah. And I forget the name of the company, but it's a major, major, I think it was a BASF, I believe that's what it is. Yeah, they're based in, I think it was Germany or Sweden, one of those, you know, European nations. This is a massive manufacturing company that had, as of a few months ago, closed its doors. And so all those people are out of a job. And what does that mean for growing things if BASF isn't making fertilizer in their main facility anymore? What does that mean for the cost of fertilizer? What will that mean for the cost of running a farm, right?
Yeah, well, and we are going to see food prices continue to go up over the foreseeable future.
Yes.
Because you have no access to the things that make fertilizer, the petrochemicals that are necessary for making the components of fertilizer. The largest breadbasket in Eurasia is currently a war zone.
Ukraine.
Yeah. The environmental controls that are coming down everywhere, especially the Dutch farmers are really feeling the heat on the environmental controls of, oh, well, how many cows do you have? Well, too bad. They're farting too much, which means we have to put you in jail.
Well, don't forget also, speaking of costs going into production, cost of gasoline is probably going to be going up soon because last weekend it was announced that OPEC Plus, which includes Russia, is going to cut back 1.6 million barrels per day production. Mm-hmm. And this is at the time when the United States has already depleted their strategic petroleum reserve by 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently I read today that cutback is going to be effective starting in May. So that's coming real soon.
Yeah, the death by a thousand paper cuts of the petrodollar is what we're seeing. Now, I used to look forward to Saudi Arabia accepting any currency for oil. At this
point,
you mean
besides the dollar?
Yeah, besides the dollar. At this point, I'm concerned that will tip us over into World War III. Because
they take Bitcoin.
Let's hope they take Bitcoin. I doubt it's going to happen. They'll probably take yuan or the ruble or some fresh new currency for BRICS countries.
But when you say it'll tip us into World War III, do you mean the U.S. will invade Saudi Arabia?
Probably China.
China?
Yeah.
The U.S. will invade China? There's no way they would do that. That's a suicide run.
Well, so that's who they're making their trading partners. So, like, at this point, we're giving these long-range missiles to Taiwan, and that has been a red line in the past. So we are tiptoeing in that direction already.
Well, oftentimes, the media... Now, I'm not claiming that the United States government or any particular government has control over YouTube or the sentiments of individuals or anything like that. I don't know. But oftentimes the media will presage the invasions by sort of whipping up animosity towards this group or that group.
Sure.
And, I mean, just think about it. In the 80s, we didn't care about Muslims at all.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 90s, they were a big problem, and you know, we had to have lots of wars with them. And now it seems like Muslims not as big of a problem as they used to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, now it's the Russians again.
Yeah, it's the Russians again. You know, same old, new boss, same as the old boss, right?
Yeah, it was Javelin missiles being sent to Taiwan. China warns that the Philippine-U.S. base deal is endangering regional peace. So, like, all of this is just one little tiptoe.
Yeah.
Toward World War III. And, I mean, if anything is going to spark that, because that's the thing. With all of this, it comes down to what are they not willing to accept? Like, Putin is absolutely not willing to accept a victory of his opponents in Ukraine because he believes, that, and possibly rightly so, that they will then come kill him. So I think he's absolutely willing to put the nuclear torch to the world rather than die himself at the hands of his enemies. So he's not willing to accept that. And I don't think that the United States is willing to accept losing their reserve currency power.
Time will tell. So Medvedev also warned, quote, the prospect of decisively planting Ukrainian blood-sucking parasites on the neck of the shriveling EU is real. And if it happens, it's going to signal the demise of the bloc. So he's saying that the cost of continuing to support Ukraine, militarily and otherwise, welfare, whatever, through the European Union, could be the end of the European Union. Keeps prime backer, the United
States.
Was
there talk about putting Ukraine as part of the EU?
They've been trying to join. Yeah, there's talk about that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know where it is right now in whatever process there might be.
Because the EU is all about bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole thing has been, there's three factions in Ukraine. There's the ones that want to be just Ukrainian and have their own unique identity. Mm-hmm. There's the ones that want to join Russia and the ones that want to join Europe. And the ones who just wanted to have their own unique identity were successful for a short period of time, but that was unacceptable to the world empires.
Keeps prime backer, the U.S. doesn't need Ukraine either, said Medvedev, because most ordinary Americans have no idea where it's located and consider it some abstract part of Russia, his post read, saying further they wonder why the establishment in the U.S. isn't trying to deal with inflation and the lack of jobs or emergencies in their home
states. But that's kind of the whole playbook, right? I mean, at least when I was younger, one of the things that was said about, yeah, World War II was terrible, but at least it got us out of the Great Depression.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Literally, that's a quote.
It's total nonsense.
It was right.
Yeah, broken window fallacy.
The broken window fallacy. If you think that the United States, World War II fixed the Great Depression, ladies and gentlemen, go out and break your car windshield. Because that will be very good for the person who sells car windshields.
Sure will, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a great idea. So instead of just having a big old war, what we'll do, we'll build all of these tanks, we'll build all of these ships, and we'll just blow them up. That way we don't have to get a bunch of, you know, innocent people killed in the process, and that will help the economy.
There you go.
Or maybe that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, right. No one.
And none of this ever made any sense.
No, and the reason it doesn't help the economy is because it takes money away from productive uses, the things that you would have done with the money that you had to spend on the windshield, or in the case of the military-industrial complex, the things that all of us would have done with the money that they took from us and then gave to Lockheed Martin or BAE or whoever these military contractors are. That could have been used for something productive to build things, to build businesses, to create actual jobs that produce useful products and services instead of those that destroy.
It's probably worth noting that there is a smidgen a skosh more productivity that might go into a war effort by the patriotic. You know, people will say, I've got to work harder so that my nation will win. Like it adds to the, you know, productive value. But that little extra isn't worth all the death and destruction that sort of thing causes.
Well, and you have to remember that there are always trade-offs. So sure, they're going to work themselves to the bone out of patriotic furor, but now they're going to die early.
Well, they don't care about the nation. Doesn't care about that.
I do.
We're not seeing that with Ukraine anyway. They put a flag outside their house and called it a day.
Oh,
changed their social media profile.
Well, yeah, that's a different thing.
It reminds me of the difference between World War II and the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. Remember how in World War II, when they wanted you to be part of the war effort,
selling war bonds,
they said buy bonds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what a patriotic American could do. Was, you know, spend their paycheck buying war bonds. But when asked what the American people could do to support the Iraq war effort,
George Bush said, go shopping. That's right.
Now,
and he was right.
He is right. He absolutely right that was going to help the economy. But ladies and gentlemen, that just lays it right out on the table. Something dramatic happened to the money. Mm-hmm. Something dramatic happened to the world economies in the 60 years between World War II and the Iraq War.
And one of the things that I find amazing about the whole Ukraine flag, like little flag in the bios, mm-hmm. flags everywhere, yeah. Flags on the pins, flags just absolutely everywhere. It is exactly the way that the people on the right were acting right after 9/11. I'm going to put a flag here and a flag here and a flag here, and if they'd been Twitter, I swear to God, every Republican would have put a little American flag right next to their name.
Sure, and even renamed French fries.
Yeah.
Freedom fries.
Yeah, those traitors.
I think it's just fries.
Yeah, but
potatoes, so ubiquitous, they can just call it fries.
Yeah, and they are just as jingoistic, just as nationalistic as the people on the right were.
Yes.
But they get to pretend that they're not being nationalistic, that they're not being jingoistic, that they're not saying rah-rah empire.
Yeah.
Because, no, it was those poor Ukrainians,
right.
Even though that flag didn't exist 10 years ago.
So Medvedev calls the Ukraine a 404 country, referring to the 404 error.
Yeah.
Only political demagogues in Washington, he says, who have long conceded their impotence and dementia, are trying to make PR gains from military and sanctions campaigns.
I'll tell you why he's wrong about this. If you got rid of Ukraine, there are so many corrupt deals that go through that country that every politician on earth would suffer for it.
Africa and Latin America reject Ukraine, he said, because the, quote, billions that the U.S. is wasting on senseless battles somewhere in Ukraine would have been enough to fund many social development programs in those regions, he said. But there's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts. Plus, we didn't even get to the story yet about the small businesses filing for bankruptcy at record rates. And if we don't get to it, well, then maybe they'll get to it on Beard Talk Live a little bit later tonight at 10:30 Eastern Time. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Nashville City Council members say they'll vote by Monday to reinstate expelled State Representative Justin Jones. He was expelled from the Tennessee House for protesting gun violence on the floor in the wake of the deadly Nashville school shooting. A group of congressional Democrats are calling on Supreme Court Chief John Roberts to investigate luxury trips provided to Justice Clarence Thomas by a major Republican donor. The 16 lawmakers sent Roberts a letter on Friday urging him to look into any unethical or, quote, potentially unlawful conduct on the part of Thomas. The Super Mario Brothers movie is bouncing to the top of the weekend box office. The animated video game film made over $55 million on Friday and is on track to bring in at least $195 million during the long holiday weekend. It was released on Wednesday. Jerry Varmash, USA News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Also want to say thank you to Damon Freeman, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live. If you appreciate our mission to spread the ideas of liberty and peace and freedom and cryptocurrency, precious metals, alternatives to the violent status quo, peaceful alternatives, then you can help us out, as Damon Freeman has done. He is a gold-level supporter, meaning Damon is doing $10 a month to support AMPS. You can do it for as little as $5. We certainly appreciate any amount that you can contribute over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Ian Pecos Mountaineer and Mark continuing the show here tonight. I'm just reading some of these quotes from Dmitry Medvedev, as reported at RT.com, and his prediction that Ukraine will disappear because no one really needs it. He says that Russia doesn't need Ukraine because the country is a, quote, mistake created by the collapse of the Soviet Union. He says millions of our compatriots who live here have for many years been subjected to abuse by the Nazi Kiev regime. It is them we're protecting in the course of a special military operation. And that's what they're calling in Russia. That's what they call the conflict in Ukraine. They don't call it a war. It's just a special military operation.
Well, if he's so familiar with the Soviet Union, does he not know what realpolitik is?
What is it?
real politics. So, yeah, in theory, no one needs it. In theory, no one uses it. In reality, it's the same reason that the Cayman Islands aren't going anywhere. This is used as a way to funnel money. Like, pretty much every single story of corruption that you can find in the world ends up having some tie in Ukraine.
Hmm.
So as long as that's the case, I mean, the politicians aren't going to find a new place to do their money laundering.
Yeah, I can't say I know much about money laundering, but I've certainly heard Hunter Biden's name in connection.
Mm-hmm. So Hunter Biden was an example, the FTX story. One of the things they found out when FTX collapsed was that a tremendous amount of money had gone from through FTX between the Democratic National Convention and Ukraine.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, and that was the other half of the circle. So, a bunch of money goes from the United States to Ukraine to spend on weapons and all of this. Then Ukraine puts a bunch of money into FTX, and then Sam Bankman-Fried gives a bunch of that money to the Democratic National Committee.
Now even more money is going into Ukraine via the military infusions of parts and bombs and supplies and $100+ billion being given by the United States government at this point. And who knows where all that ends up? There's no accounting for that, right?
Yeah.
I remember in Iraq, back in the Iraq War, they take these shrink-wrapped bundles of $100,000 in $100 bills,
mm-hmm.
and they called them footballs, which is to say that they must have had so many of them that they had to come up with a nickname for it. Now, this is $100,000.
Yep.
This is more than my first house cost. And they wrap these things up. They'd hand them out as bribes, chieftains, in order to sort of grease the wheels to do whatever it is that they're going to do. Has the playbook changed? Because I don't think the playbook changed.
Got it.
Well, funny you should mention house, because we lost one pile that size of those.
Yep.
Just don't know where it went.
Yeah, right. Don't know where it goes.
Finally, Medvedev said, finally, Ukraine with its Nazi elite at the helm is not needed by its own citizens. That's why out of 45 million, a little more than 20 million people remain there now, he said. He said that the Ukrainians don't want to help President Vladimir Zelensky and his associates put even more stolen Western money in their offshore accounts. Instead, they're eager to move to Poland or elsewhere in the EU to become the 52nd state of the U.S. or even join the Penguins in Antarctica. So,
well,
I will
say that
talk there from
indeed,
Russia.
I've talked to quite a few Ukrainians in the last year, and all of them seem very excited about the notion of kicking Russia's butt.
Hmm.
So those are the ones that I've talked to. You know, I mean, it's a small group.
They don't live there, though, right?
No.
But how many of those would be perfectly happy to do so as part of Poland?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, I'm not claiming anything. I'm just saying they weren't real happy with Russia.
Mark, you had a story tonight we didn't even read the first sentence of about the federal government's Federal Reserve Bank potentially raising rates again. What is this story? Where is it from?
Right,
who's reporting on this?
This is from ZeroHedge.com by Tyler Durden. After a week of bloodbathery in labor market data, the big one was a nothing burger of sorts relative to expectations. This was the labor facts. In fact, more hawkish leaning with record low black unemployment and prime working age participation rates back at pre-COVID levels, as Academy Securities Peter Teacher noted. This allows/forces the Fed to remain on the hawkish side of things, meaning they're going to raise rates. 3.5% unemployment is almost the lowest it has been since they started hiking, so the jobs for inflation fighting argument has not materialized. 0.3% wage growth.
The thing is with Zero Hedge
numbers.
The thing is with Zero Hedge, it's not written in a way that like a newbie can really come in and get a picture of what they're trying to say.
Super niche.
Like, yeah, it's total like
inside
updates.
Baseball right. To all of the financial people.
Right. So yeah, we gotta pause to understand.
One of the things that they expect everyone reading their stuff to know is that a big determining factor on whether or not they raise rates is the employment numbers.
Yep.
So what they're trying to avoid, like the worst possible thing, well, one of the worst possible things is so-called stagflation, right? So stagflation is where you have less jobs and bigger prices at the same time. So if they're trying to bring down the prices, they want to make sure that they're not reducing jobs, and then they'll stop once they see that they're reducing jobs too much.
And when you say jobs, you mean jobs filled by actual people, not available jobs. Because there's a ton of available jobs right now, but no one's filling them.
Well, and they do look at that as well. They look at both jobs being filled and jobs available. So the idea is that if they make money less available, then there won't be that many people ready to hire. Because there's less money to pay
people. They're not expanding. They're not getting loans to expand their business, right?
Yeah, and we have a number of really bizarre things going on in this country right now. So I think the biggest one that's just not being taken account of is that the biggest hurdle for people getting onto welfare in the first place is they were unfamiliar with the system. And now you forced the entire country to get familiar with the system.
Right.
To figure out how to fill out the paperwork, how to put up with the wait until they can get back to you, and it's a lot easier to stay on welfare
on the
than
gravy
to
train.
Get on welfare. Yeah. So once you're on it, it's like, oh, well, I can't work because of this. Oh, I've been trying to get a job. Look at how hard I'm trying to get it. I just can't get one.
It's true with disability, too, which should have no, but it should not be affected by the economy at all. Right? Like, people don't get more disabled during a bad economy. But, in fact, you will see the numbers on disability that go up during a bad economy.
Mm-hmm.
It happens the same way. Essentially, that's what it is that the idea was is that they started hiking the rates so for the jobs for inflation, and it hasn't worked. Like, the unemployment is almost the lowest it's been since they started hiking the rates.
Yeah, what's supposed to happen, they take money out of circulation, you have fewer people hiring because they don't have the money to hire people. But they're taking all this money out of circulation, and everyone's still hiring because no one wants to work. And because, as we pointed out
there's
earlier...
There's a lot of Hondurans that would love the McDonald's job, I just want to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and because, as we pointed out earlier, a lot of the people who are hiring haven't adapted to the fact that we added like half to a third of the money supply. We just added that, so you actually have to pay people like double what you used to pay them, or they won't work for you.
Well, I remember hearing, I think this was sometime last, maybe it was more than... No, it was when I was in jail. It was 2021 when I was being held on the Crypto 6 charges. I was listening to talk radio in there, and they were interviewing a guy who was like a restaurateur out in California, and he's saying he was trying to pay $25 an hour to get a dishwasher in the door at that time. Now, it is California, but gives you an example of how crazy you have to pay people.
Across the country, across all of the professions that pay by the hour, the average wage is currently $28.
Is that right?
Yes, $28.
Okay.
I know that sounds absurd, and it is.
Yeah, it is.
But no one's going to pay that.
Not right now.
Right. So that's why they can't get people.
They're trying to get by, and you know, if you don't have enough people coming to work, you're not going to be able to satisfy your customers appropriately enough. Turns out, Mark, another story you wanted to share with us tonight is about small business owners, and people are filing for bankruptcy at a higher rate than is it in recorded history?
Small businesses across the United States are experiencing a surge in bankruptcy. Surprising levels not seen since 2020. And according to UBS, a UBS note reviewed by the Epoch Times, conditions, by the way, I should say, Liam Cosgrove writing, the conditions could become worse as the ripple effects from the recent banking crisis begin to manifest.
Okay, so it's only the worst in the last few years.
Many years, yeah.
Many years.
Yeah, I think it's post-COVID. The note from UBS shows private bankruptcy filings in 2023 have exceeded the highest point recorded during the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic by a considerable amount.
So not in recorded
bankruptcies,
history, then.
But that's really important. Is that COVID-19 took out a lot of businesses.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And they predicted even many more than went down.
Mm-hmm.
And these numbers are significantly higher than that.
Now they're taking out the other ones.
Yeah.
The four-week moving average for private filings in late February was 73%. Almost double, higher than in June 2020.
Wow.
That's a lot.
So
I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't have the figures in front of me, but I'll tell you, this is almost certainly levels
like
that we haven't seen in 40 years.
Sounds
because
like a recession.
Everything else that we're looking at is levels that we haven't seen in 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably true. See, a quote here. We believe the one of the more underappreciated signs of distress in U.S. corporate credit is already emanating from the small and mid-sized enterprises sector. Matt Misch, head of credit strategy for UBS, wrote in a recently published research note, the smallest of firms are facing the most severe pressure from rising rates, persistent inflation, and slowing growth.
And this is,
it's just the question right now in America and in the world is, are we entering a recession? I don't see the answer being no.
That doesn't sound like a boom to me.
So just to point out how weird this is.
Yeah.
So what usually happens is that there's the yield curve inversion.
Sure.
Then the yield curve goes back to its normal thing, and then they reduce rates. As soon as the pivot comes, then that's when everything goes off a cliff, and there's this big reset where all of the equities, all of the stocks, everything just plummets for a very short period of time, and then it comes back up. But that only happens after they start dropping the rate. So if they don't start dropping the rate, I don't know I actually don't even know if a recession will happen at this point. Like, we are in uncharted waters at this.
Right. The recession's based on the growth of business. If the dollars were in the growth of business is quantified in dollars, if the dollar becomes less sufficiently undervalued or, you know, less valuable, then we may not have the recession. I suppose
right. That's
correct.
Right.
It's so possible.
Basically what might be happening is that they are printing dollars at such a breakneck speed now, and we're definitely printing dollars again. Like, that was one of the things with the BTFP program thing, is that, like, half of the progress that we had made with all of this tightening...
been undone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Right. So we are printing dollars at such a breakneck speed at this point that... we might, like, in nominal terms, in terms of dollars, mm-hmm. we might
There's
keep
more.
Earning more dollars than we did the year
before. But it's still a recession,
before.
Right? That's just a papered over recession. Like, they're literally papering it over with fake money.
Right.
Right. Wow. Because, I mean, when you talk about there's 75% more bankruptcy filings now than there were at the peak of bankruptcy filings during COVID, I mean, that sounds like a recession factor, right? Like, you know, if growth is going negative, if businesses are going out of business, I mean, they're not going to likely be replaced by anybody, because who's going to want to go get a loan to open up a new business?
And look, I think we're actually in a depression. It's not getting called that, because once it gets called that, it'll get worse.
Sure.
But I mean, from every logical metric of, like, production of service provision, we've been in a recession. Okay, how on earth did the lockdown not count as a recession?
Mm-hmm.
You right. told, like, 40% of the population it's not allowed to go to work for how long, and that didn't count as a slowdown?
Yeah, you literally close a ton of businesses, many of which went out of business. And it sounds like the trend that was happening during COVID is continuing and worsening, which comes back to something, the trend of from small to big. And we talked about this with the banks earlier, right, where we're seeing people withdraw their funds from the smaller banks, maybe mistakenly moving them over to the larger banks instead of perhaps investing in things that might actually hold their value over time. But you've seen this, you know, swing of business going from smaller banks to larger banks. Same thing's true in retail, for instance. Mom and pop businesses, they're going under. They can't find people to work. They're closing down. They're cutting hours or whatever, shutting down entirely, going bankrupt. And these are smaller businesses, you said, Mark, that are filing.
Smaller
these, right?
And mid-size, yeah.
Yeah, so we're not talking about Walmart. We're not talking about Home Depot.
No.
We're talking about the little regional competitors or the mom and pops that are competing with those guys going out of business. And again, that's that move towards more corporatization, more massive corporate ownership of the economy.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've been talking about the central bank digital currency. Well, look, one of the things that you have to do to get this thing into place is you basically have to have every single bank get gobbled up into one big thing. Mm-hmm. Now, in Europe, they're perfectly fine with that just being government. Like, government says, you belong to us. It's, you know, nationalized, socialized, whatever you want to call that. In America, because of the power structure, it's the banks that own the Fed and the Fed that tells everyone what to do. So here you're not going to see just a straight up nationalizing of the thing. And that's the fight that we basically watched play out just recently. And from the way I'm calling it, I say the Fed won over the European Central Banks. And they said, OK, you will not be forced into nationalizing your bank system. But we're still moving into a central bank digital currency for the globe. So the only way you can do that is systematically taking out every single bank until you're left with one giant corporation.
Well, plus, if most retail moves towards larger corporations, when they are ready to roll out the CBDC, all of the big corporations are going to be on board with accepting it, because that's the other thing, right? Like, you have to convince people. They're not going to come right out with a stick. At least not in the United States. They're not going to say, you must get rid of cash, you must go to the CBDC. They're going to tantalize people. They're going to say, hey, we got a welfare payment for you, but you got to get the CBDC app, you know, the government central bank digital Fed Now, or whatever they're going to end up calling it, the digital dollar. You got to get the Fed app to get your welfare payments. You got to get the Fed app to get your tax return. But they're also going to have Walmart and Home Depot and these big mega corporations. Mm-hmm. They're all going to be on board day one accepting CBDC payments. Payments at the cash register.
Right? Yeah, and here's the thing. Even if it takes a decade to get this thing done.
Sure, and it will, because it's government.
Yeah, there's going to be a global sovereign debt crisis. And the way that they get these things, these major changes done in civilization, is that they make things so painful that the citizens themselves call out for the changes that they wanted to make in the first place.
That's the playbook.
Right.
I hope they call the app the Trojan Horse.
Yeah, so, I mean, the full faith and credit is what backs the dollar, right? So what happens when people lose faith? Mm-hmm. Okay, what happens when they lose faith in the entire global system? All right, well, wouldn't you know it, we figured out what happened, and we can fix it. We just need you to sign on to this central bank digital currency, and then none of these problems will ever happen. And if people buy it, then they buy it.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Equals Mountaineer. Good evening, Brother Mark.
Thank you, Ricky.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I heard Brother Mark talk about his choice for the primaries, Governor Ron DeSantis, and I wanted to talk to him a little bit about it if I could.
Okay.
This was like almost a week ago, but go right ahead, Ricky.
I know. You like Trump better.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, now I did make a prediction quite a while ago, and I'm going to throw that at you too, Mark. But, you know, I talked to Ian the other night about this, you know, and I got some thoughts on this. Now, you didn't mention Nikki Haley in the mix, first of all.
You're right. I did not.
Why?
I don't think they're viable. With the polls I'm seeing, is it's between two.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think Nikki Haley's viable at all.
Okay, now that being said, here's what my prediction is for 2024. I wanted to throw this one at you, Mark. Okay? Now, in the primaries 2024, say things stand exactly as they are with the players. You know, you got Trump, you got Nikki Haley. You got, say, Ron DeSantis actually does run, which is still up for debate. And now you got Aaron Day thrown in the mix. Here would be the numbers in the primaries and what would happen. Trump would get, I would say, about 40%. Then you would get DeSantis. He would get about 45%. Nikki Haley would get, say, between 6 and 8%. And maybe Aaron Day may get 1%, 2% if he's lucky. Now, here's what's going to happen. That being said, Trump will run as an independent because DeSantis will be the nominee. Now, by doing that, they're all looking at one thing. Biden's going to kick it before this. And the funny thing about this is, say he doesn't, what's going to happen is DeSantis can't win a national election. Here's the reason why. He's managed to alienate the blacks nationally. He's alienated the gays and lesbians. He's, to a great extent, alienated women. And he can throw the trans people in there, too. So who's going to vote for this guy? And nobody's going to vote for Trump over Biden, because the Democrats will all vote for Biden. So I wanted to throw that one at you, Mark.
So I don't know what you're saying when it comes down. I mean,
he's just making predictions.
He's just making predictions. I don't know what to say.
Let's say my predictions. I mean, do they sound at all viable? I mean, you know. I mean, DeSantis can't win.
I don't think that
DeSantis is behind in the polls, right?
A Republican counts on winning the U.S. vote based on black votes.
Yeah, but there's more than that. What about gays and lesbians? What about
how many gays and lesbians are out there voting Republican?
A lot of them. They're in the House of Representatives too. You know,
and then, there's a handful, I'm sure.
Then to a great extent, women, because of his...
I hear they're about 50% of the population, those women.
Nationally. He can't win nationally.
Only nationally. Here in New Hampshire, it's just guys everywhere. Bearded guys.
He can't win nationally,
that might be an echo chamber for you.
How do people here listen to Beard Talk Live tonight, by the way?
How do they... Ian?
I wish it was on the listen line, personally.
That's watch.freetalklive.com. You can tune it in there. Ricky, thanks for the call tonight. At least according to the Real Clear Politics poll rundown, it looks like it's a close call between DeSantis and Biden at this point. And obviously, it's way too early to be talking about this crap, because the dude hasn't even filed, and everybody always loves to talk about polls and as though they mean something. I'm sorry, they don't.
They doesn't mean much, but just think about it. 4 years ago, we knew who was running. Now we don't, really. And I think that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
At this point,
I'm surprised Biden's still alive. Like, Kamala wants that job.
And by the way, it's worth pointing out that Robert Kennedy Jr. is running against Biden for the Democratic ticket.
He is. That's true.
It's crazy.
Why is that crazy? I mean, he's...
The vultures are circling. Who in your lifetime has had viable candidates run against them in their own party primary?
You think he's viable?
His name is Robert Kennedy Jr. He's viable.
Yeah. Okay, that's true.
And he does have a surprisingly large populist support.
Yep.
So,
I mean, there's a lot of Democrats out there that are sort of the anti-vaxxer Democrats. They have not been well represented in politics today. It's all the corporate Democrats.
All right, you guys can resume this in about a half an hour at watch.freetalklive.com or any of our video streaming platforms for tonight's Beard Talk Live, which again comes out
at 10:30
Eastern.
Dave Smith, 2024.
At watch.freetalklive.com. Even he has not been nominated yet. More coming up then.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.